Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, I really love these words of Paul here in our text. They're beautiful instructions. They're not just suggestions. All these words are imperatives until you come to the last verse of our text. So they are things that we as Christians ought to do, must do, are supposed to do. And we're to do them not only because of the fact that we're Christians, but also because he's coming again, as our text tells us as well. So let's take a look at these just one at a time. Rejoice. In this short little epistle to the Philippians, Paul talks about rejoicing or joy 12 different times. His own joy, or the joy that the Christians there in Philippi were supposed to have. And of course, this makes sense this time of the year, rejoicing. We have the birth of Christ, but not only that, we have the death of Christ for the forgiveness of all our sins. We have his resurrection. We have his ascension to the right hand of God. And of course, his coming again on the last day. And then he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. That's an interesting word in the Greek. It's translated several different ways. It can also be translated reasonableness. It can be translated almost like a confidence. Paul is saying this is what you're supposed to bring with you into these different situations in life, your different social interactions. And he's also kind of implying that with this word, that this is the thing, one of the things that sets you apart from the rest of the world. It's kind of a countercultural mandate from Paul here. And then he says, do not be anxious about anything. And Paul here is referring to those things he mentions earlier in the book of Philippians. About 12 times he talks about the struggles and the difficulties and the trials that they're going to experience. And he's basically saying, don't worry, don't be anxious about these things. And then finally, we might say the natural Christian response to our anxieties, our worries when they do arise, is to, as he says here, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We pray with thanksgiving, especially when these anxieties and worries come up. So, again, I love these words of Paul. They're great instructions. There are things that we ought to do, the things we are supposed to do. But at the same time, I do not like these words of Paul. Rejoice always. As I was preparing this, I thought of that song, I've got this joy, 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 joy deep in my heart. Well, I look in my heart, I don't always see that joy, 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 joy. It can be lacking. When Paul wrote this letter, where was he? He was in prison. And so we might say, what is wrong with you, Paul? Are you insane? Why are you rejoicing even while you're there in prison? I've also been reading recently a book I read a long time ago, but I thought it'd be good for me to read it again. It's a book about by a Lutheran pastor over in Romania just after World War II. And he's talking about the church over there, and he says the outward official church is really not much of a Christian church anymore, because the Soviets, when they came into Romania, they were trying to eliminate totally Christianity and convince everybody to be atheists. So the real church was what they called the underground church. So let me just read to you one of the paragraphs here that I found so fascinating. We of the underground church have no cathedrals, but is any cathedral more beautiful than the sky of heaven to which we looked when we gathered secretly in forests? The chirping of birds took the place of the organ. The fragrance of flowers was our incense, and the shabby suit of a martyr recently freed from prison was much more impressive than priestly robes. We had the moon and the stars as candles. The angels were our acolytes who lit them. Often after a secret service, Christians are caught and sent to prison. I can never describe the beauty and the joy of this church. So I read that. They had this great joy in spite of the circumstances. And then I asked myself, what is wrong with these people that they have this joy? But the question really should be, what is wrong with me? I don't have all these trials, and yet I'm not sure if the joy that I do have comes up to the same level as their joy in spite of their trials and afflictions. And again, gentleness, reasonableness, confidence that I'm supposed to have with me in each and every situation that sets me apart from the non-Christian world. And to have this confidence, this gentleness, this reasonableness everywhere, all the time, without fear. And so again, I could easily ask myself the question, what is wrong with me? And then anxious, don't be anxious. Don't be worried because of whatever. I don't know about you, but I found that sometimes the most trivial things can cause me to be anxious and worried as I wake up in the middle of the night and just sometimes I'm consumed by the most trivial of matters, let alone those things that are more difficult and trying and afflicting. So again, what is wrong with me? And then finally, when I do have my sufferings and my afflictions and my difficulties that can produce anxieties, I'm supposed to, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make my requests known to God. My prayer life is pretty good. But often when anxieties come, my first natural response is not to pray. Sometimes prayer is my last response. Sometimes prayer is not a response at all, let alone being thankful. So again, what is wrong? And not only what is wrong with me, but what do I do? You know, the good I want to do, this I don't do. But no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So what is the solution? Well, the solution is not another imperative. Rather, the solution, according to the very last verse of our text, is December 25th. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. St. Paul tells us in Ephesians that Christ himself is our peace. Or Paul put it this way in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so it's this peace, this forgiveness of all our sins, this reconciliation with God, this Christ, wherever he is found, word and sacrament. It is this peace, this Christ, this forgiveness that will always guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, we are good. And because of this December 25th, this peace, this Christ, this one who was born, who suffered for all our sins, this one who was raised from the dead, who ascended to the right hand of God and is coming back again, because of this peace, we therefore can rejoice always. We can walk with confidence and gentleness and reasonableness in a culture that is so contrary to who we are as Christians. We do not have to be anxious or worried about anything. And when we are, then we bring it all to God in prayer. We hand it over to God. We say to him, "This is not my concern, God. This is yours. You have it under control." Why? Because of Christmas. Because of Christmas and all that followed in the life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Christ. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, Merry Christmas.